The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, July 31st through Sunday, August 6th. 2023. The commentary for the month of August was written by Alan W. Farabee, an Episcopal priest, retired cathedral dean, husband, father, and grandfather who lives in Wesley Chapel, North Carolina. We begin with the commentary for Monday, July 31st, the feast day of Ignatius of Loyola. It begins with a passage from Psalm 56, verse 11. I am bound by the vow I made to you, O God. I will present to you thank offerings. I am always moved by the way children express their love, faithfulness, and thanksgiving to God. Two examples that come to mind are the witnesses of Vero and Juanca. When Vero was 2 years old, she approached the priest on Maundy Thursday and asked for communion, saying, I want the body of Christ. Her parents had planned to wait until she received a formal first communion, but she noticed that the Eucharist was something special, and she wanted to be a part of it. Now, at 7 years, she pays attention to everything that happens during Mass and often makes drawings that relate to the Church. And then there is Juanca. At age 4, he told me, Maestra, I want to sell my toys and offer the money to God. I hugged him and told him that that was not necessary. God sees the goodness of your heart, I said, and that offering is sufficient. And now I'll read the full passage from Psalm 56 for this Monday. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me all day long. My foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. As they hope to have my life, so repay them for their crime. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of my life. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday is list three things you are grateful for today. Say a prayer of thanksgiving. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, August 1st. It's the feast day of Joseph of Arimathea. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 6, verse 42, and all eight and were filled. It is one of the most famous suppers ever, this hillside picnic, when a great crowd scatters across the hillside, waiting for something to eat. Just as the arrival of unexpected dinner guests provokes high anxiety for us, this assembly of hungry persons causes Jesus and his disciples to argue. You get them something to eat. No, you do it. One of the unexpected pangs during the COVID-19 pandemic was food insecurity. People who had taken for granted full cupboards and fresh stuff to eat were idling in long lines at food pantries. It was a new experience. It was frightening. So we have no trouble placing ourselves on the Galilean hillside, hungry, anxious, waiting. Will there be enough? There are so many people waiting. We'd better be in the front of the line. In the end, the crowd is asked to sit down, and they are served, and all eat and are filled. And now I'll read from the full passage today of Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 46. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of 50s. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, where are you hungry? Can you eat and be filled? The commentary for Wednesday, August 2nd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 50c. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The first words spoken by a person to God in the Bible express fear. After the fateful bite of the forbidden fruit, God goes looking for Adam, calling, "Where are you?" Adam answers, "I heard you, and I was afraid." If such fear and anxiety lie at the hearts of our lives, it cannot be surprising that God spends the rest of the story trying to say, "Do not be afraid." We are afraid of the unknown. We are afraid of the broken places within us. We're afraid of the other. When the Israelites reach the Red Sea and the Egyptians scorch the earth in pursuit, Moses says, "Do not be afraid." And when, after the amazing hillside supper, the disciples see a figure coming to them on the lake, they are terrified. Once again, the steady voice says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." In the end, it is all that we want to hear. And now I'll read from the full passage of Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 56. When the evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, of what are you afraid? Can you hear God's voice within your fear? The commentary for Thursday, August 3rd, begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 28b. Do not harm yourself, for we all are here. What happens when the bars fall? In this account, Paul and Barnabas find themselves in jail. While they are singing and praying, an earthquake hits the jail. All the doors open and their chains unfasten. This unloosing terrifies the jailer, who prepares to kill himself in shame and despair. But the loosening of the chains can never be cause for sorrow. Paul and Barnabas, ever alert to God's saving power, rejoice with the jailer, baptizing him and his household. If our lingering wail is, "I was afraid," we will often feel bound by chains of shame or remorse and imprisoned by bars of sadness and failure. But as Charles Wesley wrote in one of his most soaring hymns, "I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And now I'm going to read from this entire passage and this story that was referenced in the commentary from the book of Acts 16, verses 25 through 40. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. When morning came, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported the message to Paul, saying, The magistrate sent word to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul replied, They have beaten us in public, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And now they are going to discharge us in secret. Certainly not. Let them come and take us out themselves. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. After leaving the prison, they went to Lydia's home, and when they had seen and encouraged the brothers and sisters there, they departed. And the moving forward question for this day is, what will you do when your chains are undone and your bars fall? And now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, August 4th. It begins with a passage from Mark chapter 7, verse 28b. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. As a Syrophoenician and a woman, the speaker here would have been considered an outsider, someone who was less than. The good news Jesus preached, God's kingdom is near, was addressed to the children of Israel, and all was well until they bumped against the boundaries of their group, until they found themselves dealing with dogs and children, those regarded as having little importance. This woman begs Jesus to help her daughter. In not his best hour, Jesus demurs, saying that the good things should be given to the group. But like women forever, she persists until he finally gives in and her daughter is healed. Mark passes on this story of resistance and persistence to let it be known that God is not a tribal idol. God is the God of all persons. This is the best news ever. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 39. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee and the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took them aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, can you reach beyond the boundaries and enlarge your circle of blessing? The commentary for Saturday, August 5th, begins with a passage from Acts 17, verse 20. It sounds rather strange to us, so we would like to know what it means. Where do you go to proclaim the good news of God in Christ? St. Paul always goes first to the synagogue. When that doesn't work, he goes to the marketplace. Paul is not afraid to engage the people in the marketplace. He speaks to them in their own language. To the Jews I became as a Jew, to those under the law, to those outside the law, to the weak I've become all things to all people. That's a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To the Athenians, he speaks about the God they know and makes clear that their God is his God. And that same God has raised a man from the dead. Some scoff, but others want to hear more. In our baptism, we promise to proclaim by word and example to all people the good news of God in Christ. Our promise may take us to the marketplace, wherever that is. And now I'm going to read from this full passage, Book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 16 through 34. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and also in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Also, some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign divinities." This was because he was telling the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds strange to us, so we would like to know what it means." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. What God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they scoffed, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' At that point, Paul left them. But some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them." And the moving forward question for this day is, where are you called to proclaim the good news? In what ways will you need to speak the language. And we conclude the program for this week with the commentary from Sunday, August 6th, which is the Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with a passage from Luke, chapter 9, verse 29, "And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white." On this day long ago, Jesus went up the mountain and light erupted, filling the world with glory. On this same day in 1945, a bomb created by nuclear fission exploded above Hiroshima, Japan, filling the world with death. This will always be a day of light, a day of glory, and a day of shadows. For those of us who trace the promise of God in the shining of Moses' face, in the shifting shapes of light on the mountaintop, it is a day of solemn remembrance and a day of hope. It always seems to me that light is seen most convincingly by the shadows it casts. On Jesus' day of light, the shadows stretched down the mountain to Jerusalem and the glory of Jesus on the cross. In the light above Hiroshima can be traced the shadow of war, hatred and destruction, and hope for a world to be alight by the brightness of God's goodness. Let this day, now and forever, be filled with more light than shadow, and let our faces, like Moses, shine with the light of God. And the full passage from Luke 9 is from verses 28 through 36. "Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah,' not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, 'This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him.' And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen." The moving forward question for this Sunday: how can we fix our eyes on the light and not the shadows? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.